Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's going to be boo-boo this entire time, I'm going to be mad.
Howdy, and welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Yanda, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Bobby Hoyt. And Bobby, did you hear, I don't know if you heard this, but apparently blogs are dead. Like, blogging is officially dead in 2018. That's what I heard. That's the rumor.
Man, that sucks, because I just started to make good money with blogs.
Yeah.
Like, just started to do well. You know, it's funny. I've seen a lot of people say that. I feel like every year people are like, blogging's finally dead, or blog,
it's dead.
I've seen articles that are like 7 years old where they're talking about like, our blog's going to be, you know, around. And I look at that and I'm like, God, it's so short-sighted. People don't realize like, content's content. Like, people are always going to consume content.
Oh yeah. And it's interesting because like, this, we're doing this episode because we saw this. I actually saw people talking about it on Twitter and I was like, y'all are dumb. And so we just got a little fired up about it and we're like, let's talk about this. But I think a reason that people would write about that and you would see those articles is because here's the deal. This podcast episode is going to do well. I'm just going to call my shot, right? I'm going to Babe Ruth this baby, because the reality is people are going to go, blogging is dead, and they're going to click. Like, it is so clickbaity. And I think that's why a lot of people do it for traffic. That's not what we're doing. But now I'm realizing, okay, cool. That is a nice benefit here. Let's get some podcast traffic. The evil marketer in me is just like, ooh, piece of candy. Yeah. So this will be a fun one because obviously you're a blogger. I'm a big believer in content. I'm launching a website. I'm starting, you know, to put out my own content. We've got the blog with Laptop Empires. We believe in this industry and I 100% don't think it's going away, but I do think that you have to be more sophisticated as a business owner to be successful as a blogger today. You know, I think there's a lot of people in the blogging world that maybe started 10 years ago and they're crushing it by just the sheer fact that they were the first to the land grab and they grabbed up that real estate, and just over time it grew and they're able to do really well with just accidentally. Like, not accidentally. You have to put in a lot of hard work to get there. But what I'm saying is, like, maybe they're not doing some of the more advanced, sophisticated funnel systems, marketing things that you and I are maybe doing. And so I don't think blogging is dead, but I think if you just expect that you're going to launch a blog and that you're going to be crushing it 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, like, you're drinking the wrong Kool-Aid, my friend.
Well, the thing about this, and this goes for almost any business, you know, early movers are going to win.
100%.
A lot easier. So there are people that I know in the personal finance world that started their blogs like back in 2010 or before that crush it now, but they don't have to be nearly as strategic as what you and I have been with Laptop Empires and some of the Millennial Money Man stuff. You know, I feel like the later in the game that you start, the more strategic and the more next level you have to be with your marketing, which I think is a difference. You know, you and I have had conversations before where we talk about personal finance blogs, and it's like a lot of what they do is very archaic marketing. Like,
it's another personal finance blog saying the same shit in the same tone of voice.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens, I think, over time, you know, I have friends that don't, like, they've got bigger audiences. They don't make nearly as much in revenue as we do, because they don't do a lot of the things, but it's still easier for them to generate tons of traffic because their name's out there. They've got so much content that's either, you know, ranking Google or Pinterest or whatever. But that doesn't mean, just because somebody started a long time ago, it doesn't mean that you can't jump into this and do really well. You just
100%.
Can't use the strategies that people 7 years ago used and continue to use that are successful. You have to do new things, which is why, like, you know, we're kind of trying really hard to introduce this idea of paying for Facebook traffic into the personal finance blogging world, because, like, nobody does it, you know, and if they do it, they're not doing it really well. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to kind of change the game a little bit there and bring some of these things that I think, you know, we talk about your world and my world a lot. I think the hardcore marketing world, there's still a lot of room in blogging for that world to kind of come into it and combine with it, if that makes sense.
Oh, both. There's both, right? Like you and I have talked about, there's so many people in my world that don't truly have audiences, right? They kind of spam content, or they just pump paid traffic through systems to make money. And then there's so many people in your world that have all this readership and they have all this traffic, they have all the Facebook page likes or whatever, but they're not utilizing it as well as they could to build their business and to help more people, to impact more people. And I think that's a big part of it. And I think one of the things that we'll talk about is some of the strategy is just to be successful as a blogger is you have to do things that are going to have a more impactful, you know, statement on somebody's life. Right. So I think, you know, it's, you can write a great blog post and somebody will read it and they'll get the good feels and they'll be glad they read it and they might share it and tell some of their friends about it, but then the impact dies. Right. Whereas something else, you know, whether it's a free course or a paid course or an advanced training, video training, something like that, that can have a bigger lasting impact because you can go below the surface level. You can really teach more, educate more, give proven strategies, give people a plan of action, right? Give them implementable ideas. And I think this here, what we're talking about, this is not just the blogging world. This is in my world as well. It's not just about content promotion anymore. It's not just about information. You can go on Google, you can go on YouTube, and you can search for absolutely anything, and you can learn just about anything in seconds. So it's not about information. People need to go on an information diet. What's going on in 2018, what will be going on in 2019 and beyond, is the people that win are going to be the people that give actionable information that people can implement. Right? We're no longer in the age of information. We're moving toward the age of implementation. And as a blogger, you need to embrace that. And if you can get ahead of that and help people implement, then you are going to be so much more successful than anybody else, even if you're just starting out.
Yeah. So, you know, implementing, I think that's huge. I think we should talk a little bit about basically what you need to do. Like what are some things if you're a blogger, like what kind of content do you need to be producing? What's the strategy? And I think there's a couple of things that come to mind for me. I'd actually say the biggest one, you know, we're going to talk about some other things, but I think the biggest one for me is actually creativity and just finding your own, you know, we say find your own voice. I know that's like a very stock thing, but the people that I see that are doing well with blogging are people that aren't necessarily just, you know, using the copy paste strategy of like what everybody else is doing. When I started, I ignored pretty much everything because I didn't really read a whole lot of other blogs and stuff like that. I was producing content that was like 700 or 800 words. And that's a no-no for everybody. They're like, no, that's not long enough. And I'm like, okay, well, look at what I'm doing now versus what a lot of other people are doing. And in the blogs that we see, you and I talk about different bloggers, and we see like really, really good blogs that they're being super creative and just like ignoring all of the rules. And I think I think that's a great strategy to start with. So I think I agree with the implementation. I think that that's huge moving forward. I think you can't create fluff content anymore. I think you have to give people something to take away. But I think probably the most important thing from my perspective right now is you need to find a way to stand out. You need to find a way to be creative, even if it breaks the rules, like even if it goes against all the things that everybody says you're supposed to do. Because since I've been doing this for 3 years, and I feel like I've been successful in these 3 years. And a lot of that has to do because I ignored a lot of what the traditional advice was. Like I was really short posts, 700 or 800 words. Like I've been going back through some of my old stuff and just kind of reading it. And it's funny how different it is from what I do now, but it's still got the same, what I do now still has the same elements, but I was very like, very me. And I didn't try to do, I didn't know any better really. So I didn't like try to copy what everybody else is doing. And I see these bloggers now that aren't being creative. They're putting out the same content that everybody else is doing. And I think if you follow that format, you're not going to do well. I think moving forward, you're going to be screwed. But I think, you know, there's blogs that you and I talk about all the time where they're really standing out. They're really being creative. They're kind of breaking some of the traditional rules, like of what you're supposed to write.
Unique. There's some really unique blogs. And then there's 1,000 cookie cutter blogs.
Yeah. And that's, and I think a lot of people try to get into the cookie cutter thing because they're looking for a formula to just make money. Whereas I think if you're really creative and you're just you and you kind of don't follow the rules and you're not too worried about monetization from the very beginning, then you can build and use some of the, you know, hardcore marketing techniques in conjunction with your creativity, and then it's going to explode. And I think that's what happened with Millennial Money Man. Like, basically I built this thing for a couple of years and we brought some pretty hardcore lead gen stuff in and traffic and everything. And like, it just has blown up, and we're doing the same thing with Laptop Empires. Like, Laptop right. Empires is different. Like, we have a Biggie Snugs teddy bear as our logo.
Yeah.
We feel like,
but,
it.
Yeah. And I think what's Laptop Empires has done that very strongly from day one. I feel like we've come out and just our personality has been all over it from day one, but it is truly our personality. It's just us being us, and it's us having fun and basically just saying like, we're going to do whatever the hell we want because that's what we want to do. Right. And why, like, what is the point in having a business if you can't do what you want to do? Like, right. Let's be real. There are best practices. We follow a lot of best practices, but we also break convention when we feel like it. And a lot of times we just do things like the teddy bear because we freaking feel like it, you know? And so it's that kind of authenticity thing that people talk about. But sometimes, like, when people try to be authentic, it's not. Like, just, right. just do you. Like, be weird, be open, let yourself out there. And everybody's going to do that differently. And, you know, I think you and I are a good example of this. You being you is a very different vibe than me being me. Right?
Oh yeah.
I'm a little bit more out there, a little bit more abrasive. Like, that's just but that's my personality. That's how I am with everybody. I'm loud. Like, it's just how it is, you know? And you're a more subtle personality, you know, than mine. Mine's a little more in your face, and that's okay. But what happens is people, when they try to do that, when they try to be authentic, they're not being authentic because they think that they have to be loud, that they have to be entertaining, that they have to be like, do all those things. You just have to show your personality. Like, if you're a quiet little bookworm type, like, let the nerd out, because there's so many people that are like that. And I feel like I can say that and pick on those people because I'm like that too sometimes, yeah, you know, like, that's part of my personality.
You are kind of a bookworm, so that's good.
Yeah. So like, you just have to be you. And there's really two pieces here. Like, the creative thing, I want to talk about that again because you brought it up. Some of our favorite blogs, I don't read a lot of blogs. I know you don't read a ton of them either, but the ones that I pay attention to on social media are either very unique voice, like, it's just that person, like, being them, and I feel like I'm getting to insight into their world, or they're very creative and entertaining. The right. problem, you know, with the creative part is that the best blogs and the worst blogs are the ones that are trying to be creative. And the reason I say that is because there's some that are like really entertaining. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and throw one out there. Like, I don't know. And cause I don't know anybody in the blogging world, but I find the ladies over at Bitches Get Riches incredibly entertaining. Like, I haven't even read a ton of their blog posts, but I love following them on Twitter because I love reading the image captions where they have, like, it's like these old, like, medieval art, and they've like scratched out the eyes and they have like these funny quotes. Like, I like that. That's their personality, and it's entertaining and it's creative. And like, that to me, that's a great example. But I also know of other things where people are like really trying to overdo something and it's too much and it's a turnoff. Right. And so the best way to stand out is to take a hardline stance on one spectrum or another and to be disruptive. But, you know, you can't take it so far to the extreme that, like, it doesn't feel real. Right. Like, it needs to be legit. And so, and I think with us, like, I don't know that we're overly creative or that we do anything like super unique in our brand. Like, maybe the fact that we have a comic book artist that does all the work, you know, for our site, like, that's unique. But for us, it's on that personal, the personality element. Like, we just are two dudes having a conversation in our houses, like, you know, pants optional, maybe, Probably shouldn't have said that on radio. That sounds really weird. But no, but I mean, business is pants optional. I'm going to awkwardly move past this. But you know, like the thing, you know, like we just kind of, we're sitting here chatting. We don't plan it too much. We just take the knowledge we have and we have conversations about it and it works. And it's the same with the writing. So it, that's what you have to do. Take what's in your head and let it out into the world the same way you would tell your friends about it.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's funny, man. You talk about the, about Bitches Get Riches. I love that blog too. And I don't read a ton of a ton of their content, but I've read through, you know, quite a few and I, it's just so good. And it's because it's so different. And I think one of the things about, we'll have to like tag them in a tweet or something, let them know we're talking about them, but like, it's just, it's entertaining, but at the same time, like they add their own spin and they put like actionable advice for right. their audience. And I think that that's huge. And they're probably, have been plenty of people that have told them that they don't like their brand. Cause it's like, you know, they go hard.
And that's okay.
And that's cool. But I'm sure that they've had some like backlash, but they haven't stopped doing it. And so I think that that's, you know, that's just one example. There's plenty of examples out there of blogs that are like really, I think, going to crush it, continue to crush it, but it's not the like super formulaic ones that are boring, you know?
No, but that's what you have to do. Like so many people are worried that if they do something, maybe something they want to do, that they're going to have unsubscribes in their emails or people yeah. are going to stop reading their blog or whatever it may be. Well, guess what? That's good. That's a good thing. Yeah. That's a positive thing. You know, I, you and I have joked before, like for me, I celebrate email unsubscribes because that means that that person was never going to be a good match for me. And right. one, they probably were never going to buy from me, and buying from you is the lifeblood of a business. But even if they did buy from you, that's your disgruntled customer, because then they get in there and it's not what they wanted or you're not what they wanted and you can't please those people. So get them out of there. Be yourself. Show your personality. Chase those people off. The more people you can chase off, the better. Because what's going to happen is like you're going to attract all of the weirdos to your little corner of the internet, the people that are weird just like you. And you're going to push away everybody that thinks you're weird. Right?
Right.
Like we've got a special brand of people in our communities, but they're our special brand. Like they have similar personalities. They get along. We have the same sense of humor. That's key. That's what you want in your audience. You don't want everyone.
Yeah. I think that's one of the key differences. And it's something I've gotten used to, but I think a lot of bloggers are like, they don't like the unsub thing because they, you know, I think a lot of, well, I think the good bloggers start off with the intention of like, I want to help as many people as I possibly can. At least that's the way I am. And I have been
100%.
So I've just come to realize that like some people are just going to unsub. Like every time I send an email out, I get like 30 unsubs or whatever. I've just realized like the people that resonate with what you're talking about are going to stick around. The people that don't, you know, they're just going to send you crappy emails that you have to answer that.
Yeah.
So but, I think it's still different. Like I don't celebrate the unsubs quite as much as you do, but I think but the way you do it makes sense though. Like I've always understood that because it's like, you know, I just think that that's one of those things where it's a key difference between like the hardcore marketing world and blogging. But I think that bloggers need to get more used to the idea of like, I'm going to say something that's going to offend somebody and get them off my list.
But you don't,
it's a weird balance.
It's a happy, there's a happy medium. Everything has a happy medium. I am not one of the people that subscribes to the belief that I'm going to say something absolutely ridiculous and out of control here that's going to rub people wrong and push them off my list. Right. That's not how it is. It's say what you're going to say. And then if people don't resonate with it, who cares? Do you want to hang out with people that don't like you? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's what that is. And a lot of this too, and this, I think we've already really hit this, but like part of being more authentic and that sort of thing to be more successful as a blogger, be more personal, open yourself up. We've talked about that on a lot on the podcast. We probably don't need to like dive into it too much, but like let your voice out, share what's going on behind the scenes, talk about what's going on in your life. Your readers care about you. They want to know. They want to know. They want to know what you're up to on vacation. They do.
Yeah.
Right. So don't be afraid to let that out. But I think the kind of the other thing that goes with being personal is like your content needs to be more story driven. We live in a society, human nature, you know, we're drawn to stories. And so when we talked about actionable advice and information in your content, maybe having more in-depth content of, you know, like a video training or a free course or something like that, where they can really dive deep. You also don't want everything to be a guide. You don't want everything to be the steps for achieving this. You want there to be story. You want to illustrate things with examples, right? I think if you want a good example of this, listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
We talk all the time about stories of things we've been through, stories of things our clients have been through, stories of things our readers have been through, because that's the best way to illustrate a point, is to just tell a story. And if you can do that, you're going to capture more people's attention. They're going to read more. They're going to stick around. And that's what it's about. This whole marketing thing, this whole blogging thing is about winning attention.
Yeah, it's true, man. And I think, you know, when it goes back to the original topic of, you know, is blogging dead? Storytelling is never going to be dead. It's been around, you know, since the caveman days, you know. And I think that if you base a lot of your business, or at least some of your strategy, like the whole thing, I go pretty hard on storytelling. Like, that's just what I've always done with Millennial Money Man. But there are blogs that do a great job of mixing in storytelling. Even the bigger brands, like bigger brands are always looking to tell a story. And I think a perfect example of this is The Penny Hoarder. And that's a huge blog right now. It's a personal finance blog. They do millions and millions of revenue per month, but they're still focused on storytelling. At FinCon, the CEO of Penny Hoarder, Kyle, I can't remember his last name right now, but he did a whole speech on storytelling, you know. And it's like, even huge brands know that's what you need to do. And so I think that's, if you base your brand, if you base your strategy on telling a story and driving a story, and then you mix in some, you know, more conventional methods in with that, then you're going to be really successful. It at least gives you a path to become a successful blogger.
Yeah. And, you know, this is going to be a total shift of gear here now, but we did talk about, like, you need to be a more sophisticated business owner, right? As a blogger to be successful. And part of that is, go listen to 2 episodes ago talking about Facebook ads for bloggers. That's an example of it. You need to be looking into paid traffic. You need to be looking into, how do I optimize my blog posts for lead generation? How do I optimize my blog posts for affiliate sales? How do I get higher open rates when I send emails? How can I get more click-throughs when I send emails? Like, you've totally changed how you do emails, implementing some of the stuff that you've learned since working with Chris, our copywriter. You know, and so, I mean, there's always so much more you can do, and you can funnels, like all that kind of stuff, email marketing, like there's copywriting. There's so many of these marketing things that you can learn about, and you don't have to learn all of them, and you don't have to learn them all at once, but like, it helps as you get going. Once you just get consistent at putting out content, to start learning some of these things and thinking about, what is my best content? Why is it my best content? How can I amplify that content? How can I direct people that consume that content to somewhere else, to take the next step, to make that next commitment, to go from being aware of my content, to engaging with my content, to converting through my content, like taking them through those different phases. And so you need to learn about that kind of stuff. You are learning about that stuff if you're on this podcast, but that's kind of, I think, the next step. But with it, you need to be very, very careful to ignore the flavor of the month stuff, because there's always trends and there's always new things. Storytelling, email marketing, growing your list, like that kind of stuff, that stuff never dies, but there's always trends, and it's easy to get caught up in them and get distracted and stunt your growth. And I think you've probably seen more of this in the blogging world than I have. So, like, we've talked about this before. So can you kind of flesh it out a bit?
Yeah. I mean, for example, like FinCon is coming up, I think, next month, and that's the big personal finance blogger conference. And it's like, I think I've been to 2 of them so far. This will be the 3rd one. And there's always like some new, you know, I think the first one I went to was Periscope. Like, if you're not on Periscope, you're not going to make it. Well, I don't see anybody on Periscope anymore. You know, like,
you know, that was my favorite sports writer, Clay Travis. He's a former attorney, owns a blog called Outkick the Coverage. He's also on Fox Sports Network.
Yeah.
He uses Periscope for his radio show every day, and he's really savvy. And he's got he's built an incredible business on his blog, but he's the only person that I ever see use Periscope. but he crushes it with Periscope. But so, but the point is, like,
you can, well, you can crush it. And I think you got to find your lane and stay in your lane. Yeah. I'll talk about that in a second. But like, you know, they were, when I first started, they were making it seem like if you weren't active on Periscope, you're not going to make it. And I'm sitting like 3 years later going, okay, well, that wasn't true. You know, and then it's the same thing. It's like, I think
Facebook Lives right now. Everybody's talked about Facebook Lives. One of my favorite clients, this couple, they have Brian and Carrie. They had this Brian and Carrie in the morning show 5 days a week, 9 o'clock Eastern time every morning. Facebook Live show was huge, right? They were reaching thousands of people. Tons of people were viewing the show, were engaging with the show. It was insane. They recently shut the show down because after Facebook got everybody onto Facebook Live and got them using it regularly, they smushed the reach and there wasn't anything we could do about it. And they went, well, time to invest our time somewhere else. And so, but that has been the same thing as Periscope. Like, you've got to use this. You've got to be on it. You've got to, if you're not doing it in 2018, you're screwed. Well, that didn't last long.
That didn't last. But I think the key, you know, I'm not saying don't try new things, but I think you have to play to your strengths. Like, I know that I am a reasonably, I'm not a good writer, like technically, like I probably write like a 10th grader or something, but I know that I'm really good at conveying a message through writing. And so I've stuck with that. Like, for the last 3 years, I know I can convey a message through writing. I know I can tell stories. I know I can inspire people and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I think, like, for you, Mike, when you start your brand, you're going to focus on video because you're really good at video. Right. And I think that those are the things, like, you have to recognize your strengths and then really,
and then go all in on them.
Yeah. Go all in on it. And then don't get distracted by the advice of like, oh, you got to do this or you're screwed. You got to do this or you're screwed. Like, that's just not true. If you can get, like, if you're really good at writing, people aren't going to stop reading in the next 10 years. Like, if you're a great writer and you can find some way to distribute your writing, like, most people, right. I think that's a fear, like a common thing is like, oh, well, everybody's going to start watching video. Like, do you really think everybody's going to stop reading like over the next 10 years? Hey,
written content is the only kind of content that you can consume almost any time, right? Yeah. When is the one time you can't consume reading written content? While you're driving, right?
Right.
So then maybe you listen to a podcast, right? But if you're in public, if you're waiting in line at Chipotle to get your burrito, you're probably not watching a video because you won't be able to hear it unless you have headphones. You're probably reading something. If you're in the, you know, like the dentist office, whatever, like there's, you can read anywhere. I find myself drawn to written content when, like, in the evening, because like my wife's watching something on TV, I don't care, but I can sit there and I can read something.
Yeah. And it's funny because like I think about it, it's like, I'm sure at some point somebody was saying that like books are dead. You know, like books, you know what I mean? And it's like, all of my blogging friends are trying to write books now. Like, everybody wants to be an author and publish books. Right. I'm like, you know, it's in it. And I think that that's what you have to realize about humans just in general is like, we consume so much content now in so many different ways. If you have a way that you make content and you do it really well, somebody's going to consume it because we all do a lot of stuff. We all, you know, watch a lot of videos on tons of different platforms. Like, I'm sure I scroll through Instagram and Facebook and whatever news thing, or what, like every day. And so I think that that's it. So stay in your lane, I guess, is what it all comes down to. And don't just the flavor of the month stuff, just ignore it unless you think you can crush it. And then if you think you can crush it, go after it.
Give it a little tasty taste, right? Like you might really like it. Like you might really enjoy it. You might find that you're really good at it. I'll tell you, this podcast is a good example. I had done a couple of other podcasts that were more like, they weren't like super business related, and I always enjoyed them. But when we did this, we decided to do the podcast, it became one of these things that once we got started that we both felt really good about. And we were like, this is something we can excel at. This is something we can really, we speak well, you know, and I think we got a taste for it during the live trainings in our communities where we're like, we just have a good rapport, like just bouncing off of each other. Yeah. But we tested it, and not everybody's going to be that way. But the response so far has been that they like the podcast. So we feel good about like, this is something we're going to do long term. But if it hadn't have worked for us, we would have canned it. Right.
Yeah.
And it's the same, but I think with the flavor of the month stuff, it's more, it's less about the content distribution medium of blogging, YouTube, podcast, and it's more about the social media stuff. Don't feel that you need to be on every single social media platform. Don't think that you have to have every single widget in your blog. You have to have a video for every blog, that you have to be doing live streams. Like, you don't have to do all of the things, but you do need to distribute. You do need to focus on distribution. You don't have to repurpose every single blog post into a video, audio, Instagram, like every format you can think of, but you do need to distribute that blog post. And I think this is kind of our last thing, and it's a big one, is so many bloggers focus on cranking out content, but what you need to do once you find your voice and you find your rhythm and you've built that consistency, you need to focus on reaching more people with the content. It has a lifespan. Don't let it die. Get it out there. Let more people see it, whether you're promoting it with some sort of organic network or multiple or paid. You need to focus on distribution if you want to crush it.
Yeah. And that's, if you look at Millennial Money Man, I've cut back on the amount of content that I create. And I used to be 3 posts a week and now it's 2. There might be a time where I go to 1 or 1 every 2 weeks or whatever, because if you focus on the distribution, you don't have to create as much content. But I think the flip side of that, because I always get new bloggers that ask me this, like, how much should I be writing in the beginning? And I think the answer is as much as possible until you get good at it. Because if I were to tell you, okay, write twice a week and you do that, what if you wrote 3 times a week and you got better at writing faster? So I think that those are the things that you have to think about, like, produce a lot of content in the beginning, figure out what works for you, what makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you can start to throttle back the creation part. Cause it gets hard as your blog grows. Like, there's way more plates to spin. And it's like, writing is a lot of times an afterthought for me, or like something I'm like, oh crap, I need to write posts. And every blogger I know is the same way. But I think now I can get away with doing less because I know I can produce a piece of content. It's going to be good. And then I can really focus on distribution through email or paid traffic or whatever. And then I'm still going to get, I mean, I'm still making money. I'm making more money now at 2 a week than I was at 3 a week. So, like, you'll be fine.
Well, and let me tell a little story about that point. See what I did there?
Yeah.
last week, I'm at my guitar lesson. I started taking guitar lessons about a month or so ago. And I got there and we were getting started. And I said, hey, you know, I'm just giving you a heads up. I practiced for 1 hour this week. A lot of stuff going on. You know, my business partner was away. Half my team was away. I was working way more than I expected. I didn't really put the time in. And I was like, I was just letting you know, and let's do this. And he's like, well, we're going to have a little coming to Jesus party first. Oh. And he had a real serious conversation with me. And he's like, look, you know, I can only do so much for you as a teacher. I can teach the hell out of how to play guitar, but you still have to put the work in outside of just when we're together. And he goes, and this is not, he was very, I'm not, he's like, I'm not mad. I'm not giving you a lecture. I just want you to make this point to you. And his point was, you can practice twice a week and get to a certain point, or you can practice 5 days a week and get there 3 times faster. And he goes, and really it's just up to you. Right? It's up to you how quickly you want to get to your destination. I don't care if we have to practice, if it takes us a month for you to be able to play your first, or if it takes us 3 months for you to play your first song, that's on you. Right?
Yeah.
But if you do what I say and you actually put the time in, then you're going to be able to play your first song in under a month. Right?
Right.
And I think that goes to like the frequency of the content. Like, if you're going to, putting out that higher frequency when you're getting started is going to help you find your voice and find what you're passionate about, find what you want to talk about, and find what your audience resonates with more quickly. Right now, the important thing is just being consistent, but doing more frequency and focusing on frequency and getting it down and becoming a better writer early on is definitely probably more important than the distribution, because you know what? Your first article probably sucks a big one. You might not want to distribute it too much, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's true. It was funny. You're telling me about that. And I'm going back, cause I used to be a band director. Like, I'm going back to the days where I used to teach private lessons over and over and over again, like for hours. And I can just tell you the worst, most mind numbing thing in the world is when a student comes in and they're like, I didn't practice very much. And then you have to practice with, like, you basically have to practice with them for an hour, and they hate, like, any private lesson teacher hates doing that. So practice more for that guy, because I feel bad for him.
I have been doing pretty good. It was just last week, but anyway, I thought it was a good way
the point makes sense though. Yeah. The point totally makes sense. I'm just, it reminded me of all these like terrible times I've had with like, so I'm like, God, you didn't practice. Of course you didn't practice. Never did.
Nightmare flashbacks for Bobby.
Yeah, I know.
Brought to you by me.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm a blogger now. They said blogging's dead, but that's not true, because I'm not a band.
Yeah, Yeah. And so that really, you know, that brings us kind of full circle, and we can wrap this up, and that blogging is not dead. Like putting out good content is never going to be dead. Is it harder to snag your place out there in the world and to become known? Probably.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the way you do that, you know, as we talked about, be personal, tell stories, find a unique angle, find a creative way to talk about things. I think one of the great things about your blog, Bobby, is like, you don't just talk about pinching pennies and cutting lattes. You talk about like some of the, like the personal and like discipline related things behind that. And you also talk about like, hey, the other ways you can make money. Right. And that's a unique angle. And so if you can bring a unique experience to whatever niche that you're blogging about, that's going to help you go a long way. And then getting it out there, doing everything you can to spread the word about the stuff that you put out. Yeah, man.
And being strategic about it. And that's the thing. Like if you're going to jump into this game, or maybe you already did and you're like, I want to grow, you're just going to have to out strategize people that are crushing it. Like you're going to have to out strategize us. Good luck. Cause we're going to be like, you know, competitive, but you're going to have to try. And those are the
things. Bring it on.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get your foothold, that's where you have to do it. You have to be, it's in the strategy. It's in the numbers. It's in the nitty gritty things like that. And it can't just be in the, you know, if you're looking at how people did it 7 years ago and you're going to try to replicate it, you're not going to make it, you know, you've got next level stuff.
And you're probably thinking, okay, yeah, but how do I learn that nitty gritty? How do I do that? And that's the most important thing about being successful in anything. You just got to damn do it. You got to go out there. You got to take action. You got to do things and you'll figure it out. Like everything that we talk about on this podcast, Bobby and I did not know 3 to 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And we're constantly, and that's the thing too. I know we were going to wrap, but this is important. Like we are constantly trying new things, and it's like, whether it's new software to use or whether it's just like
a new strategy or
whatever. Like we try it. And then if it doesn't work, then we go, okay, well that didn't work. But then if it's better, if it's more profitable, it gets us more email subs, and we're like, okay, cool, we're going to stick with that. And I think that you have to, I'm sure everybody out there that's listening right now that is a blogger is going, oh yeah, there's that thing I've been wanting to try for a while. I haven't done it. Well, go try it. Like get on, finish this podcast. Don't even listen to the next one. Well, listen to the next one. Listen to all the ones you can. And then go try this thing that you've been wanting to do and implement it and see if it works. And that's the biggest thing. If you do that, you're going to be successful. If you don't, you're going to have a hard time.
Yep. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you are one of those too long, didn't read type people and you're here at the end, blogging is dead. It is a horrible thing to get into. Definitely don't do it. Like don't waste your time. It's just more money for us, more readers for us. But you know, thank you guys so much. Please share this episode if you enjoyed it. Please subscribe to the podcast. That way you never miss out on anything. And we'll talk to you next episode. You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.
We out.